Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Yo, yo.
Ho, ho.
Hey, hey.
Hee, hee.
Guess what?
Besides the fact that I have a beautiful dog staring at me right now,
life
couldn't get much better.
Aw, and she's so, so sweet. This little dog has such a good temperament. She's learned so much in 2 weeks already. It's pretty awesome. So she's happily a new family member of our household. She slept through the night last night. Like, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm sleep deprived, but I'm happy.
If you're happy, I'm happy.
So,
Mike's happy because you brought him a pile of beef jerky. What brand is that, by the way? I've never seen that before.
Archer.
Is that like a health food version of beef jerky?
Country Archer.
That's a joke.
Provisions. Yeah. Well, it is, dude. I mean, I know you don't
healthy
eat beef.
Beef jerky. Oh, come on now. Did you have a healthy hot dog with it before you?
Listen, dude, if you need to get your protein in, this is what you do.
Eat beef, jerky?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. They're snacks.
I haven't eaten
Mikey
years.
Likes
I don't
it.
Remember.
I like beef jerky. I like beef jerky. That's not really beef jerky. Those are beef sticks.
Okay.
Beef sticks. All right?
Okay.
All right, dude?
Yeah.
So listen, both of you, I'm making a commitment here and now and to our audience because I want to apologize. I've been listening back to our podcast and I curse a lot. So I want to apologize because I drop the F-bomb about 50 times an episode.
So you're not going to say fuck anymore?
I'm going to try my hardest not to use the F-bomb.
Okay.
Because I'm like horrified, actually, at how many times I say it. Horrified. Horrified. That's what the New Yorker says.
Well,
horrified.
The thing about the F-word now, it isn't as vile as it used to be. I mean, I know I always bring up Olivia Rodrigo, but I have to bring her up again. Every song has fuck in it. Every one of her songs, she uses fuck at least once in the song.
Two.
She's 18-year-old.
Yeah, but see,
that's the world we're in
when
now.
I listen to podcasts, I want to be able to listen to it in front of family or kids. Like, I know that, like, my family might be listening to this. So I don't know. I'm a little horrified how many times I use the F-bomb. I guess I was getting a little loose, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I used it twice already. I'm going to try not to use it again in this
Well,
episode.
This is just my commitment to myself because, I don't know, I was just kind of surprised how many times I used it. Listen, you know what? I'm also super in it right now. I'm creating these four pieces for my exhibit that I have in October. And like last night, I literally had to set my alarm on my phone so I would go to bed because I was just so creatively in it. And at night, I laid in bed and I tossed and turned because all of these designs were just like streaming into my head. Like it was just like I was getting like obsessed with it. Which is cool because I haven't been here in this spot in a long time. So I just wanted to rejoice in that, people.
I love when I can't go to sleep because I'm being creative. It doesn't happen as often as it used to anymore.
Yeah.
I used to like be an animal. But now I don't.
What would you get creative about? Like
just ideas, whether
music
it be writing
or
a marketing plan for a band or, you know, anything, mostly music or art. You know, I created some pretty good pieces the other night when I couldn't go to sleep. So it's like, I think it's great to have that because I find myself falling asleep too early these days, you know. Mm. I get up at 5 every day, so.
Yeah, well, I'm just in it right now. It's really cool.
It's good. It's a good thing.
I'm excited to be this charged up by creativity and I've got a lot of stuff going on. I've got multiple things I need to be working on, and I just want to be creating. You know, I just want to be in my little. I dedicated my spare bedroom to my working studio right now, and you know, ironically, I had a yard sale this summer, and I sold off my mannequins, and I need them.
Oh,
I need them right now. So I need to figure out where I can find some like dress mannequins right now, because I'd like to have all four of them going at the same time, because I don't just work on one. I'm working on like all four of them at the same time. So it's like one idea comes to me and I'm like, oh, okay, wait, I got to wait till the glue gets hot. And then I jump to this and I jump to that. So it's been fun. It's been fun. Another thing I wanted to tell you about today is that I bought this journal, this fitness journal, but it's more for food diary for me. A journal to record your goals, activities, mood, and more, because I'm not where I want to be right now. I've actually been having a hard time these last couple weeks just feeling positive about my body, positive about, you know, eating. I'm just like racing against the clock. I'm not prepping food. I never prep food. I've never done that. It's not something like, if I cook, I'll cook enough for, you know, a couple days. But if I actually get to eat that in my fridge, I oftentimes forget it. And then I, you know, I should freeze it, but then I don't. And, you know, I waste a lot of food that way. But anyway, so I'm just trying to keep a record of like how much exercise I'm getting, what I'm putting in my mouth, like every bite I put in my mouth, how I feel that day. You know, it's a cool little journal. So I don't know. I'm going to see how long this lasts.
I keep a food journal too, but I keep forgetting to write in it. Like, I'll keep it yep. for a day and then I'll forget it. And then 3 days later, I'll do it again. And it's hard to keep that going. It's just, life just keeps you busy and you forget those things.
And see, since I'm analog, like I need to actually write it in a book rather than
that's what
like
I do, yeah.
Virtually on those apps and stuff. Like yep. I find even though my phone is always near me, I'd rather write it down and like write out my emotions and have all these little compartments where I need to do it. But what I like about this book too, it has today's goals. And it says if you meet them, you can check them and then what your reward is. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like if I get my to-dos done, what do I reward myself with, right? Like, I don't know. It's just interesting. Work on my library exhibit to-dos. Post Instagram and Facebook. Call Rockport. Oh, check it out. So Silvana gave me a heads up on
my
a
future
space.
Wife. I wish.
Oh, Silvana, did you hear that? I've been replaced.
I'm sorry. You're too much in demand. You both are. So I'm joking right now.
I know.
I'm joking.
No shit, Sherlock.
I don't think she's interested.
She's not into the white man. I got you there.
Are you sure you want to keep that in this podcast?
She's not into the white man. What do I have to say? I mean, not racist.
I have pretty dark skin. I'm Italian. My skin's pretty dark.
It doesn't matter.
She once you go Rico, you never go back.
But she told me about a gallery in Rockport, a space in Rockport that's available.
Uh-oh.
And I'll be honest with you, Steve. I've been really asking people their thoughts. I mean, Rockport's like known for art.
Love Rockport.
I mean, it's a 45-minute commute for me. I just don't know if I want the ball and chain.
Here's the thing, though. You might end up having a space up there, and then you might hear about some great real estate thing going on because you get to know all the people and you can live in Rockport. I live there.
I know. I went up there with Coco, introduced her to Coco, got to see her apartment. We went to the beach. We, you know, brought some snacks. She actually had like this all perfect little dinner for us. We watched the sunset, hung out in Rockport. Like I was like, girl, do you know how good you've got it? This is beautiful.
It is. When I went up there not too long ago, I loved it. And her location is amazing.
And she drove me to this little secluded beach. It was like so perfect. And I had Coco out there. It was the first time she's ever like gotten to know the beach and the sand
Did
and
she
the ocean.
Like it?
Oh my God, yeah, she was going nuts. It was cute. And then I took her to the beach yesterday. I picked up Josie and Beverly and we took her to the beach and these three kids were like bombarding us. And I was like, okay. Like, I realized later when I got home, I'm like, you know, I really just wanted to like walk on the beach and like let my dog just follow me behind me. I was collecting shells for my project.
I love collecting shells on the beach.
Yeah. It's just cathartic, you know?
Yeah.
I like to say hello to the ocean. Like, the ocean's kind of my like God, really.
I love the ocean.
You know?
Yeah. I lived in Marina Del Rey. So, I mean, I was like right on the water for a few years when I at one point in time in California. I had an ocean view out my window, and I'd love to go back there.
I sat with my uncle one day in Marina Bay, or Marina Bay?
Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey, that's the one. He had just had a brain tumor and had this brain tumor removed, and he was in a horrible, like, recovery phase. But my mom and I flew out there. And I remember just sitting there with him and being like, wow, this is good. This little California world out here. I was just talking to somebody about how amazing California is and how I'm going to get out there. I'm really, like, I'm just not going to retire here. That's for
damn sure. Yeah, I love California. I miss Southern California.
Me too. So let's see. What do we have on our agenda today? We're going to talk about a little bit about Coco Chanel and some more fall fashion trends. We're going to talk about jealousy. And we're going to talk about food, delis, and some food restaurants in New York City. Because we've touched on Boston and Colorado, but today we're going to touch on New York City. We're going to talk about Begin Again, the movie with Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley, and, oh yes, Adam Levine.
Yeah, and, we don't have to talk about Adam Levine that
Oh
much,
yes, we do.
He was in the movie. It was a two.
I have a big crush on Adam Levine.
Oh my God, we are so opposite in so many ways. I find him to be so annoying.
No.
I really do. I know girls like them, but or women even. I don't know what that was.
Oh, there's a ghost in here. The recycling just tipped over, and that was Adam Levine's ghost going after you. His future ghost.
Oh,
no,
God.
I dig him.
The
I dig
ghost
him.
Ghost of Maroon 5.
I don't know.
Are we talking about Begin Again right now, or
no,
are we going to do fashion
I'm going to tell everybody what we're doing first.
Okay.
Music, new music from Mr. Twisted Rico. He's going to give you a little tip on some new music that's happening in this day and age, indie rock. Why don't we start with jealousy, because I'm curious what you have to tell me about jealousy.
Okay, if you want me to start, I can. I'm going to share with everyone what happened.
Do
basically.
It. Do it.
I have this site. You know, I'm on OkCupid, which I have not gone out on a date yet. I've never gone out on a date through a dating service, but someone recommended OkCupid to me because you can actually communicate with people, unlike Bumble. And I've been doing a lot of communicating.
And why do you think you can't communicate with people on Bumble? I'm just curious.
They don't let you send messages,
right?
Unless you
a girl
pay.
Has to like you back.
Yeah.
No, you don't have. Do you have to pay?
So you're telling me no one's ever liked me back on Bumble, and that's why it doesn't matter. I'm not on Bumble anymore.
All right,
Bumble that up. But OkCupid, I like better. It seems like a friendlier place, and you answer a lot of questions and things. So you answer these questions, and people they tell you whether you'll agree or disagree. And a woman, I looked at her photo. She was cute and everything, and we got along, and we were like 93%. But there were 8 questions we disagreed on, and the first one was, do you think jealousy is healthy in a relationship? So you either answer yes or no. Mm-hmm. So I answered no, and she answered yes, mm-hmm. and I didn't get that. I don't get how jealousy can be healthy in a relationship. Yes, it is a broad question, and there's little things that make jealousy kind of cute. But overall, I don't think jealousy is a good thing. Now, when I asked you the question, though, you said the answer for you would be yes. So I'm curious why you think jealousy is okay in a relationship.
So I think it's inevitable. I really don't think that you can assume that there's never going to be jealousy in a relationship. So if it's inevitable, then you have to embrace it. Because if you don't embrace jealousy, you'll go crazy. You'll go crazy with jealousy over every little thing that your girlfriend or girl does. Like, I talk to men. I flirt with men. I've been rubbing guys' earlobes since I was in high school. I mean, it's just
physically rubbing their earlobes?
Yeah.
Guys that you don't know?
Yeah. Well,
do you realize
guys,
if I started rubbing women's earlobes, I'd be like, called a predator,
yeah,
a sexual predator.
Apparently
why can you
would.
Do it and I can't?
Dude, every guy that has known me my whole life, high school and college, post-college, they would all tell you some sort of story about me rubbing their earlobes.
You
I don't know what
rub my earlobes. Now I'm concerned. Huh. I thought we had a vibe. Huh. You and I.
Interesting. I doubt that I've never rubbed your earlobes, but maybe we. Well, we were never like as close as we are now. I mean, now we know each other.
I don't know. I used to come down to your boutique in Davis Square.
Well, maybe
Square,
I didn't want to lead you on as much.
I had a crush on you back then. By the way,
maybe
P.S.
I didn't want to lead you on because I was married. You know.
Yeah, that's true. You were married.
But okay, back to your question. I mean, listen, I can't say that I'm a jealous person because, again, I get that flirting is a thing. Like, you are loquacious, right? And flirtatious. So, like, you know, it's healthy. It's healthy and natural.
When you said you, did you mean me?
Yeah.
Because I'm very flirtatious.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. So, would you mind if a woman decided that she couldn't stand the fact that you flirted? You'd have a big issue with that.
Here's the thing.
Because you can't do it.
Here's the thing. I'm going to come right out right now and tell you that when I was younger, I was very jealous, controlling, possessive. I had all those traits in my early relationships, and I totally regret it now. I do not like the way I behaved.
So
back then.
Okay. So if I was your girlfriend and I walked in here and let's say we were, you know, hanging out with Mike, and I was like, hey,
now
Mike.
Or then.
Oh, your eyes are so pretty. Oh, you're so smart.
We really do need video for this podcast. You mean right now?
I just asked you. I said, if I was your girlfriend back
right
in the day.
Now. Back in the day?
Back in the day. And I was flirting with Mike.
Yes.
What would you do?
I would be upset at you.
Would you tell me right then and there? Or would you hold it in?
I would
and
have
get
what they
over?
Call passive aggressive behavior towards you.
Interesting. So you'd be like, you'd put me down because I was flirting.
Yeah, I would not like it. I would not. Okay, if you were my girlfriend and we were walking down the street and there was a girl walking in front of us and she had a perfect ass and I was like, wow, she's got really a perfect ass. I love it. You know, what would you do? Would that make you jealous or not?
I'd be like, damn, you're right. She does have a great ass.
See, I think people should be that way. Like, if I see a handsome man, I'm not afraid to say he's a handsome man.
You've made
man.
It there, but you weren't like that
no,
before.
No, I was not. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a little bit of work. But I don't think it's healthy. Now, there's a difference between what we're talking about and, like, trying to see your
don't
phone
you...
and read your text messages because you're worried
right.
that somebody,
right.
you're texting Mike
That's
Nash
trust.
About
That's
things.
That's not jealousy.
And
That's
telling
trust.
Him you love his pretty eyes and stuff. That's jealousy.
That's trust, though. That's trusting. So you have to be able to trust to not have jealousy.
Don't you think they kind of fall hand in hand with one another?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't trust somebody, then you're going to be jealous and you're going to that. I guarantee you, you trusted none of those girls because you were cheating on them.
Okay. No, that's not true.
Okay.
I wasn't
well, whatever.
I wasn't a massive cheater. I have had mistakes, made mistakes.
Or you were
in my
concerned
life.
That they were going
to
cheat
you
on
know
you.
You know what I used to do when I wanted to be with another woman when I was with one? It's really bad. We need to take a break. I need a little space. Can we just take a little time off?
Because then you would
then
go
I'd go
hook
and
up
bang
the
other girl, and then 2 weeks later I'd come back when she was still. Why have you been avoiding me? I'm really sorry. And then I'd sleep with them. I was a scumbag, I think, to a lot of women back then. Okay, I haven't changed my opinion at all. I'm still going to answer. I do not think jealousy is healthy in a relationship. I don't think it's healthy. Mm. Period.
I think it's an inevitable. It's inevitable, and if you don't embrace it somehow, if you don't get over, listen, yes, have I been jealous? 100%. But do I expect not to be jealous? No. So there's my answer.
Well, it disrupted my dating situation with this one particular woman because when I immediately saw her answer and I compared it to mine, I wasn't as interested in her anymore because I am very flirtatious and I can make someone jealous very easily. And if they get jealous, then it's like,
but you,
you
just
know,
said
I gotta tell you,
that
I,
she's not, she doesn't think jealousy is a bad thing, but you do. So
no,
if you're flirtatious.
No, she thinks jealousy is a good thing. Right, right. Exactly. Right. Just what you said. We said it differently. Yeah, I just don't think it's healthy.
Well, there you go. Okay. You and I differ on that opinion. And it's interesting. I mean, listen, my ex-husband was not, I think when I first met him, he might have been classified as a jealous guy. But there's no way you can be jealous dating me, because if you are, you're history. Because I flirt.
I feel the same way about myself.
Right. So you've got a double-edged sword.
And
though.
That's why you're I don't let. Standard. That's why I don't think jealousy. See, you're kind of agreeing with me now.
No, I'm saying that you have a double standard. If you're sitting here saying I'm flirtatious and I do this and I do that, but the girl can't get jealous. Or jealousy is not good. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
No, I agree with you about that. I don't care if you check out other guys. I really don't.
Now, but then you did.
Well, it's called wisdom.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I was just going to say. This is the sage. This is what comes with age, is sage, right? Ooh, that's my little. I just could write a book with that
you
one.
You just had a cup of sage tea before you were here, apparently.
I'm like, need to do my own positive affirmations. Right
so
now.
You agree with me, though. Yeah. You're agreeing with me, but you're telling me jealousy is okay.
I'm telling you it's inevitable to be jealous about somebody in your life. Like the person in my life, I know he's very attractive. And I know girls check him out. I don't think he knows how attractive he is in comparison to what I think people see on the outside.
Did I meet this guy that you're dating? I actually told him, and you were standing there, that he was a very handsome man. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Mm-hmm. Were you jealous?
No.
Of course you weren't.
No, not at all. I'm like, cool, Steve thinks he's hot. I do too.
he is a really good-looking guy. He's kind of like model-esque.
Yeah, I've told him he could model for
sure. He's a very good-looking man. For sure.
Except we are, quote unquote, not dating. I don't know what that means. But listen, like, I don't know. I mean, that's my problem. If a guy is going to... Okay, hold on. I had a situation when I was 15. I was dating this guy who I was wild about, crazy about. He was this Greek guy. He played soccer. I was really into him. So listen, so I'm dating
Greek
this guy.
He was a Greek soccer god. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was. Man, he had this luscious long hair. So he and I had this thing. We definitely were dating, and he was my boyfriend. And all of a sudden, I was getting the attention of some of the, like, you know, football players in high school. So this was like my sophomore year. I was a new kid at my high school my freshman year. And so the quarterback of the football team I had a crush on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he was a year older than me. And I was going to this party. I knew he was going to be there. And I had my sights on him. I wanted to hook up with him. Now, hook up to me means kissing. Okay. Like, I know other people hook up means something else. So heading to this party, and I'm like, well,
I'm going to make out with the quarterback.
I can't cheat on said
on
Greek soccer player.
God.
I can't cheat on him, so I'm going to break up with him because I want to go hook up with the quarterback.
Wait a minute. It sounds like you might be using this one against me. Go ahead.
So I break up with said Greek god, and I go to this party, and sure enough, I end up making out with the quarterback.
Wait a minute. Did you break up with the Greek god right before the party?
Yeah.
You
like
called him up
days.
And broke up with him, and then you, because you wanted to make out with him. Okay, and that's exactly what I told you I was doing.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to tell you the end result of this. I make out with this guy. He's a horrible kisser. He is horrible. He is like slobber central, okay? And I'm just like, oh, dear God, what have I done? I'm not into this guy. I kissed him. That was it. I got it out of my system. I was not into the quarterback. Now, I went crawling back with my tail in between my legs to my little Greek soccer player, and he wanted nothing to do with me.
Good for him.
He wanted nothing. He said, you broke up with me, and that's that. You lost your chance. I learned a lesson, though. I'll tell you what. I learned a lesson, and there's two parts to that lesson. Cheat and don't fucking break up with him. Or, I don't know. That was pretty much what I decided. You got to just go ahead and get it out of your system.
We both went in a different area, but it's all the result of whether you're jealous or not about what other people do. or is it not?
No, I disagree. For me in that moment, it was like my personal desire to possibly date this guy was more powerful than the connection I had with the other guy. And I risked it. And I broke up with a really good guy to kiss a guy that I knew was probably out of my league, to be quite honest with you. But maybe it was the conquest. I don't know.
I think my situation was all about the conquest, and that's all I cared about. Is
exactly.
Like I always thought there was something better
right.
out there.
Right.
You know?
And that's what's sad.
And for
is
you
that
young guys out there that are acting the way I used to act, I do not recommend it. I think it's poor behavior. And if I could go back, I would have definitely done things differently.
So let me ask you something. Cathartic. We're in the cathartic mode here. Have you ever thought about going back and apologizing to some of those women? And have you ever done that?
I have apologized to women from my past many times about
Good.
My flakiness to commit mm-hmm. to an actual relationship, which is the result of my behavior about always wanted to looking elsewhere and finding someone else.
Right. I mean, and yeah, I think that's
I
the deeper,
that.
we're analyzing you now because
I've definitely
that's,
apologized. Yes.
That's the deeper part. So I have situations in my past where I still would like a guy to come back to me and say, I'm sorry I did what I did.
You know, I got to tell you, I think the result of my behavior and the way I acted is it falls into the Catholic guilt category because mm-hmm. of the way I was raised as a Catholic. I could never not tell them when I was with someone else, and it got me in worse trouble. Being honest I was overly honest. I would sleep with one woman and then go back and tell the other one that I slept with someone. Or I would stop seeing one, and I'd tell her, I want to be with someone else. And that kind of honesty, you know, people don't like that kind of behavior. It's not good behavior.
No.
It's poor behavior.
If a guy broke up with me to tell me that he wanted to go sleep with somebody, I'd be like,
and then you
see
go
you later.
Back and say, you know what? That was a mistake. I don't know why I did it. I'm sorry. And some people end up forgiving you.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't
if
have.
Someone, well, you wouldn't have, but there are people that do forgive that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. To me, that's like self-respect at that point, you know?
I do want to recommend two great songs about jealousy, if I may. They're classics.
Go
Jealous
for it.
Guy by John Lennon and Jealousy by Queen. They're two excellent songs about jealousy.
And what are the lyrics? I'm like, what's the end result?
Why did
of
I
song?
Know you were going to ask me that? They both have the same meaning. They're apologetic about their jealousy, and I'm apologetic about my jealousy
okay. cool.
from the past.
There you go. Well, wow, we just got super deep. Super deep, and
we did some
podcast therapy here today.
You know what? So, I really do think talking about heavy topics like that is something we should do. We should really dig in deep to some of these things because people think about this. There's someone out there right now that wants to cheat, or they're jealous because they think their girlfriend's cheating or their boyfriend's cheating.
But it comes back to that other topic that we talked about. It was monogamy. Can you be monogamous to one person for the rest of
Didn't
your life?
Didn't we disagree on that as well?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
We agree? Because I don't think monogamy exists.
I really don't think it may, in
some cases, but in most
I
cases.
I respect the people who can be monogamous.
I do too.
Greatly. Like when you hear that, like 55-year married couple.
Mother and father.
Do you think they've been monogamous?
I don't know. I don't know if they were. I'm amazed because I don't know how someone cannot get that urge or get that feeling.
I know.
You know, especially now in the society we live in. Oh my, young people, how do they do it? How do they do it?
I don't know, man. And I mean, I told you I was completely monogamous to my ex-husband, but you know, that was a decision I made to prove to myself that I could do something like that, you know? So
I believe that you're a very faithful lover,
mm-hmm.
girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
wife.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like you would be. But then again, you know, I know other people that seem like they would be and they're not.
Listen, if somebody commits to me and I commit to them, I'm going to be faithful. Yes.
It comes down to real true love, I think, as well, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I was talking to a couple different people about this. Like, I would rather that whole saying, to love and to lose is better than to never have loved again. Like, I choose love all day long, and I choose to have that mad, passionate, like, I love this person with all my heart and soul feeling than never to have that again. You know, like,
to
just
that.
risk that, you know, it's like that, you know, am I going to put my heart on the line and risk getting my heart broken? I mean, a broken heart sucks. I mean, it really hurts.
If you feel like you gained a lot from your marriage, and you did because you have a beautiful daughter, you can feel like you accomplished that. But I've never been married and I have no children, but I still feel like I've loved. Mm-hmm. I've had loving relationships, even yeah. though I'm not in one right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't
and
be
I think
on
we
OK
all,
Cupid.
Don't we all aspire for that? Is to
yeah,
find
we do.
That deep love?
And you know, you hear about people finding it at all ages
yes.
of their life. You
yes.
never know when it's going to happen.
I have complete faith that I will find it again. Completely. I know I will. I just don't know when I will, but I will. You know, and I look forward to that day. And do I have to get married again? No. But would I like to have somebody to, like, grow old with and go, you know, travel with and go to museums and go to concerts and, you know, find each other's passions and support each other's passions? I think that is so important.
There's another Black Crowes fan out there for you somewhere. Don't worry. He's out there. Or she, maybe. You never know. Could be a she.
No, I already told you. We've already talked about this. I'm not into the she's. Okay. So let's touch on some fashion, can we?
Fashion. Please do.
All right. Fall trends 2021, circling into where we left off last week. And then I also want to just touch a little bit on Coco Chanel and why I named my dog after the legendary Coco Chanel. So I'll start there because I think that people don't really know, like, they know the Coco Chanel that's in all the magazines right now. And, you know, I don't even know who's actually designing for Coco Chanel because for the longest time it was Karl Lagerfeld. And I used to actually joke that Karl Lagerfeld and the stuff that he did, she would have rolled over in her grave. Like, she was such a pioneer. Coco Chanel took women out of corsets and put women into pants suits. And, like, that long kind of flapper-esque dress that de-emphasized the curves of the woman and, like, the fact that we would put these corsets on a woman and pull them so tight you could barely breathe. Like, she was the woman who took the corset off the silhouette and made it about comfort. And to me, I mean, what she was going against the grain big time when she did this. And Coco Chanel, like, I went to the Met many, many moons ago, and there was this whole exhibit about Coco Chanel, and it was all her early stuff. I mean, it was her stuff, not Karl Lagerfeld for Coco Chanel. And I was just madly in love with everything I was looking at, and the colors and the reds that she would use and the fabrics. And you just, I felt like I had this, like, out-of-body experience. Like, I felt Coco Chanel in there with me. And Gabrielle was her first name. I've always loved the name Gabrielle. And, you know, she had, you know, a tumultuous past as well as far as lovers and men in her life. Somebody was just saying that maybe she was in, like, dating a man that had some connections to the Nazis or something. I don't know if that's true, but I should do a little more research on that.
Her Wikipedia page is, like, enormously long.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm looking at it right now.
When was she born and died?
Okay, she was born in 1883 mm-hmm. and died in 1971, 87 years old, born and died in France.
Mm-hmm. She was French.
Her resting place is in Switzerland.
1971. Wow, she really... Think about where she was born, the era that she was born, and the era that she grew up in. I mean, to go through she was in her 20s in the early 1900s, and then to go through the 1920s and that whole scene, and then the Great Depression, and then World War II, and
she had some controversy during that time. Yes. She was criticized for being too close to German occupiers to boost her professional career. Mm-hmm. One of her liaisons was a German diplomat. And it goes on and on.
Yeah, so there was this whole connection to, I mean, and the French, you know, did have this huge issue with, obviously, there was, you know, the occupation came in and took over actually the town of, the city of Vichy, which is where my family landed, who were Jews from North Africa. So it's interesting, just the whole history about Chanel, because if she had ties to the Nazis, that's not a good thing.
She had more too. I mean, you should go read her Wikipedia page. There's a lot.
No, I know. We should dig deeper on Coco Chanel and her background. And I mean, I taught college fashion there for a little while in 2002, I think. Oh no. What am I saying? 2012, and I did a whole thing on Coco Chanel with my students, just because she is legendary.
I'm going to do a little more research on her.
Yeah,
after noticing
we can talk a little deeper on her. But I think what people think of Coco Chanel now, and what she really represented as a designer, I mean, that's the stuff I know, is what she did as a designer. I don't know as much about her personal life. I've watched, there's like a Lifetime movie about her and stuff, and she was a hard woman. I mean, I think she grew up in a lot of, she was not wealthy necessarily, and she had to work her butt off to get where she was. But look, her brand is still going, you know, 40, 50 years later after she died. Like, that's epic. Like, that's what all designers want, you know?
It's like she's the Beatles of designers.
Well, there you go. There you go. She's the queen and the Beatle and all that.
Maybe not the Beatles. Maybe the Pink Floyd of designers.
No, no. Let's go with the Beatles.
Okay, sorry.
No, not Pink Floyd. So as far as some fall trends that we should all keep an eye out for, one thing that I thought was interesting, because I think that it comes and it goes every, you know, handful of years, is lace and lace detailing. One of the trends right now is lace inserts. So you'll see some lace in a sleeve or the whole sleeve or part of a sleeve, inserts on a skirt. I do love a really high quality lace. I think it can be cheesy. I think it can be done tacky. But if you have a nice quality Chantilly lace on a pretty face, that's where that comes from. Chantilly lace is actually a French thing.
If you couldn't make it through a whole episode without singing, it's okay. I get it.
Don't you want to be blessed with my beautiful voice that I was never trained to sing? Lace overlay, which means when you have like a lining and maybe there, I always did this with a contrast color. So I'd have a pink lining and a black lace so that you saw the pink, but, you know, underneath the lace. It's going to be fine and delicate. And there's also a trend where you're seeing ombre lace, which means the color that goes from, say, a light yellow to a dark yellow or a light gray to a dark gray. So they're ombreing the lace, which I love that idea. Fringe, Steve. You want to get out your cowboy jacket with the fringe sleeves, you know?
I think whenever I'm always going to think of Rick Dalton, Leo DiCaprio's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he's doing Lancer and he's got his fringe jacket.
Yes,
on.
Exactly. So we're seeing fringe all over the place, all over the runways, hemlines, the bottom of skirts, fringe on the bottom of a handbag, on a clutch, or a bottom of a big oversized bag with just tons and tons of fringe hanging down, fringe hanging off of sleeves, the bottom of coats, and cropped shirts with fringe, which is what I was wearing a couple weeks ago where I bought it at H&M. There's this like little cropped shirt that I found with fringe. So, you know, think macrame meets, you know, the 70s with the whole fringe thing. So I guess we're going to see a ton more of this. It's cute, and it's also something that I probably won't wear. Not a trend that is going to be in my closet, except for the little crop shirt that I have with fringe on the bottom. But maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe I'll embrace it. We'll, you know, you never know. Never say never. And then last but not least, do-it-yourself vests. I mean, again, we come back to the vest. We talked about the vest last week. This we're seeing with crochet, deconstructed vests. So deconstructing something and then putting it back together, color blocking. So one of the things I wanted to say, remember how we said we'll look for like the worst dressed Hollywood people or worst dressed people? I did a little research and I wanted to show you because it's because we just love this guy so much. We've got Kanye West in a color blocked.
Oh, yep. Why did you have to show me that?
I know. Color blocked Kanye West vest that he's got on. Check this out. Ugly, fugly, as they say.
Ugh.
And then another worst dressed person that I came up with was Kathy Griffin. Look at this horrendous thing that she's got on. She's wearing like some weird eyeball on a shirt with a leopard. I'm sorry, not leopard. That would actually be classier. Zebra jacket. And she's got her hair in pigtails and she's got a choker on. And it's just so awful. I mean, I hope to God this was for a character and not actually something that she was wearing on the runway. Anyway, so those are my two worst dressed for the week. Kanye West in a color blocked vest and Kathy Griffin in this horrible T-shirt and blazer that just never needed to ever be, you know, seen again. So that is my little quick hit on fashion for fall 2021. We talked about discussing New York foods. Would we like to touch on, did you ever go to delis when you were in New York City?
Yeah, well, two especially. I've been to many, but the two that I frequented were Katz's Deli, which is probably the most famous deli.
And what would you get when you went to
Houston.
Katz's?
Well, back then I was a meat eater, and their pastrami on rye was like the main, and their pickles.
Pastrami
oh, man.
Rye.
They had the best pickles, too, and I love pickles.
We're going to do some coffee talk about
fries.
New York delis.
It would be pastrami on rye with steak fries and pickles.
Mm.
How's that
yum,
for
yum.
A nice little deli
I'm
meal?
Starving and like Marvin.
The Second Avenue Deli, which was on 10th Street and 2nd Avenue, I believe, or 9th Street
okay.
and 2nd
mm-hmm.
Avenue. I used to live in between 1st and 2nd on 10th Street.
Oh my God, I used to live between 1st and 2nd on 25th.
Oh, I was at 229 East 10th Street. Do you remember your address?
I stayed in the dental dorms one summer.
The dental dorms?
Dental dorms of NYU. You know, for an internship.
I can't say that I've been all over this country. I've toured with millions of bands. I've been to almost every city except for a bunch of those weird places like the Dakotas and Montana and stuff. And there's no place like New York when it comes to delis. I mean, there's no
place like New York when it comes to food, Steve. You could get anything at any hour of the day from 1 a.m. till
hopefully
midnight.
It's still like that. You know, there is one really good deli though in LA, and that's Jerry's Deli.
Oh, yes.
But it's still not Katz's. Katz's was numeral uno on the list.
When I went to New York City, when I lived in New York City, when I go to New York City, I got to say, like, I don't care about the delis. Like, I'm not like a deli sandwich girl. Plus, I've known for years that I was gluten free. So, like, to go to a deli and have a sandwich would put me double it over in pain.
Right.
But I can appreciate a good rye. I can appreciate, you know, good pickles for sure. I think rye bread and pickles is like as New York as it gets, right? For me, one of my favorite places that my dad and I have been going since I was a baby is a place called Sevilla. And it's down in the West Village.
Greenwich Village.
Not Greenwich, just the West. I mean,
the West Village. Broadway.
Yeah, west of Broadway. It's off of West Charles or Charles Street, West Charles and 7th Ave or something like that. And it is a Spanish restaurant.
Oh.
You can go get paella. We go and get paella. That's all we get. They give you, I mean, these guys have known me for 40 something years of my life. Like,
okay, so I thought
guys.
We were only talking about delis right now because there are other restaurants in New York that I would rather
go to. Well, you were going to talk about delis and I was going to talk about Sevilla specifically just because it's what equals New York to me. Like, you feel like New York equals really good delis,
right?
Yeah,
Little Italy in New York has amazing restaurants. Mm-hmm. I used to love going. Then Acme was a place I used to go to on Jones, too.
Yep, yeah.
I haven't been to New York, though, in 10 years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's a sin.
Well, you were telling me that, so I lived in Hoboken and Brooklyn in 96 and 97. You lived in the Lower East Side in the 80s,
yeah,
right?
And then I lived in Astoria,
in the mid-90s.
Yes.
I did the Hoboken-Brooklyn scene. I never lived in Manhattan, actually. But we lived in Hoboken right out of college. We were just drinking our faces
Hoboken
off.
Hoboken is like New York City, even though it's in New Jersey, if you ask me. It's like,
it's come a
long
way.
Got the best views,
too.
I'll tell you that.
We did. We had great views. I had a number of different apartments. At one point, I lived with two guys. That was probably my best era in New York, was living with two of my ex-husband's good friends. And one of them went through all my friends like a cat in a hen house. I mean, literally, the guy was just
my kind of guy.
Who's single? Who's single? Yep, she is. Yep, she is. You know who you are if you're listening. But, you know, I have some good memories of New York City. Hoboken, there was 100. We used to go to this Benito Dino's. It's a piece of pizza that's like the size of your like leg. And, you know, it was $1.60 for a slice of pizza. And then in Brooklyn, oh man, we used to go to this Greek restaurant, which I don't think is there anymore. It was in Brooklyn Heights, and I loved that place. Yeah, just good restaurants. I mean, I actually got to go to Jean Georges once in Manhattan. Now, that is the 5-star elite restaurant by Jean Georges. And, of course, somebody ordered escargot. And I got this escargot on a plate. I mean, this escargot was probably $100 for an appetizer. It's so ridiculously expensive there. And I had to eat one, but it was like the last thing in the world that I wanted to eat. So you asked me to watch the film Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley, and Adam Levine.
I didn't ask you to watch because of Adam Levine. No, I just thought it was a great film. I have a little summary for people that haven't seen it. It's a chance meeting between a down-and-out record executive and an unknown singer-songwriter in their relationship as he develops her and her music to save his music career. You said you thought it was sappy. Well, and my response to that was, yeah, you know, a lot of films are sappy, so I'm not going to say it wasn't sappy. I think I enjoyed it more because I was in the music profession and I could relate to the whole story and how it went. And I thought it was a fantastic story. Haley Steinfeld, by the way, was one of the people that really got my attention in the film. She played Mark Ruffalo's daughter, and she was really, really good in the film. And CeeLo Green actually also was in the
loves
film.
Loves his character, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And it was directed by this guy named John Carney, and the song Lost Stars actually was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song. So John Carney.
Carney? Okay.
The thing is that the film, a lot of the films he did were music films. He's not a famous director for other than these small music films. He did that film Once, which got nominated for a bunch of things. But the story is really a fun story. It's kind of a comedy because you could not really go and record an album on the streets of New York the way they did. It would be nearly impossible with all the bleeding from the noise to come in.
But I think he wanted that, really, didn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, when you hear the songs on the soundtrack, they don't sound like they're recording on the streets. I just think it's a cool little film, entertaining.
He did a great job. Mark Ruffalo did a great job. He was so believable as like a, you know, washed up music executive that gets booted out of his own company.
And, you know, a lot of people would tell me when that film came out, you should see it. Ruffalo reminds me of you. And I'm like, I don't think they meant it reminded me of him at the level of the music industry that he was into, because he was a huge record executive and I never was. I was a mid-level guy.
Right, and
but
he had
our
his own
mannerisms
company.
And the way we acted, mm-hmm. and there was a couple of scenes like he didn't have any money at the bar, and I remember being in that situation where mm-hmm. you know the bill comes, I'm like, can you get this bill because you know I don't have the cash for it. Maybe that's why I reminded them of Mark Ruffalo. But
well,
it's a really good film.
He said he's always distracted and distractible, and He's like funny and he's, well, you know, Keira Knightley did an incredible job. I think, and I actually love James Corden in that
movie. He was good. A lot of people think he's a dickhead, you know, but he was good in that. Yeah, people don't like him. He's not very well liked as a late night host, but he was good in the film. Adam Levine, I guess they had to get a big name musician to sing the songs because he was the big rock star in the movie.
I mean, I think.
I don't know. There's something about him that bugs me. I can't figure out what it is. It's not a
I have a crush
fan.
On him. I think I like his voice. I like the way he sings. I just pulled Coco out of her little crate, and Steve's waving to Coco as she bites on my finger here. I like Adam Levine. I've actually never seen him in a movie before. I think that was the first time I'd ever seen him as an actor.
I don't know if he's been in any other films before, but they had to get someone like him to make it more believable, and that was the smart
casting. Talk about a guy who breaks up with the best things ever happened to him because he gets a little piece of ass on the side, and then he regrets it. That's the storyline, pretty much, on that side of things.
Yeah, she blew him off when she had the chance to go on stage and perform with him in front of the sold-out show in New York. And she went, and he did her song that she wrote, and she didn't like the way he did it, and she just, like,
but he sang it the way she wanted him
to. He started it, and then when she didn't come on stage,
he changed it?
Yeah, he went to his version.
And that's why she left.
See, I you catch things like that because you're in the music business, and that's why I caught some of these little musical innuendos that were in that film. But
I wondered because she leaves, and it definitely seemed like he had gone more upbeat and more fast-paced. Yeah. But I loved the song the way she wanted him to sing it.
She was really good. She did a great job. She sang.
I was going to say, that was all her, right?
They both, well, obviously he could, but she sang all her parts, and it was she did a great job.
Oh, I was really bowled over by her
The scene with when Ruffalo discovers her, it makes me cry because I've been there. When you see an artist perform for the first time and you want to sign them, I've been there, and I love that situation.
That moment,
that's a great moment.
That's like the moment that you wish for, right? Like, I was having that moment last night with my own art, but like, as a music finder of new, you know, sound, that's what you want to have happen, right? You walk
exactly
into whatever,
and that's why I fell in love with the film because I could relate to it.
I get it. So, did you like the music in the film? Like,
loved it.
Okay,
loved it. Love the film. I do. I know it was cheesy at times, but it's still. I watch it again. I've watched it many times.
Yeah, no, I'd watch it again. I'd watch it again, and I'd recommend people to watch it. I think it was cute.
You know, when he's looking at her perform the song acoustic, and he knows it's a great song, and he imagines all the instrumentation.
That was cool. That was really cool.
That's what the music business is all about. That's what an A&R person's supposed to do, help an artist find what they can add to their song. If you want, I can segue into the little music pick here. I was going to suggest to people that are into indie pop, indie rock, indie pop, to check out Torres' new record called Thirstier. It's her fifth album. It's Mackenzie Ruth Scott. She's from Orlando. She moved to Brooklyn in 2013, and since then she released five albums, and she really found her spot. I really like her album. I think seeing her live is much better than her records, but I highly recommend Torres. Thirstier is the name of the album. You can contact us at seamscssr@gmail.com. We have a Patreon page, patreon.com/seamstome. And our Instagram page is @seamstome, Sib, C-I-B, Steve, S-T-E-E-V.
So I'm going to leave you today on a book that I have called Dear Universe. It's 20 mini meditations for instant manifestations. And the word I'm going to pick today that I feel in my core is inspired. And then I actually wanted to ask you, Steve, what's a feeling you're feeling right now? Like, it can be a good or bad. And I'd like to read it. Like, are you feeling happy? Are you feeling sad, you know, in that genre. Okay, you can think about it as I do this. The energy of feeling inspired is so miraculous. It's the energy of potential, of creativity, and of joy. You're on a wondrous journey into the realm where dreams meet intuition and anything is possible. Inspiration works really well with something known as the flow state. Oh my God, that's exactly where I am. It is the state of meditation, of mindfulness, that you experience while taking inspired action and feeling as if the universe is working through you. When you feel inspired, you are manifesting miracles and the universe is orchestrating all of the divine details to support you on your adventure. Incredible ideas can often be birthed when you are feeling inspired and connected to the universe. The story is that Paul McCartney came up with the melody for the Beatles Yesterday, the most covered song in music history, from a dream he had one night in 1964. Check this out. This is so on point. Artists source their inspiration from nature, observation, experience, and intuition. Writers also draw from the subject matter they find the most fascinating. When you have sparked the energy of inspiration within your soul, you are living life intentionally. You are a powerful creator painting the masterpiece that is your own reality. Always play with the universe to call forth and invoke the essence of inspiration when you need it. And so this is what this book always recommends that you say. Dear universe, I now flow with inspired ideas to create something beautiful, magical, and meaningful in my life. May my mind be given a series of actions that will help to support me on this path of inspiration. May I be guided. May I be uplifted. May I feel inspired. So be it, so it is. So perhaps we'll pick yours for next week and I'll read it next week when you feel
it. Oh, I already feel it. I feel cautiously optimistic about life in general, especially living in this country, yet I am in a very creative state. So I know those two might contradict each other a little bit, but I think what's going on around the world with climate change and just the 40% of people in this country that refuse to admit things is really got me troubled, but I call myself cautiously optimistic.
I know. Ironically, optimistic is not in here, which is weird. But how about hopeful? Would that be hopeful?
Yeah, I would say I'm hopeful, but also cautiously hopeful.
Right. Okay. So here's I'm just going to read the part about the Dear Universe part because it will manifest the hopefulness that you're feeling. Dear Universe, I now embody the energy and the essence of hopefulness that everything will work out perfectly as it should. I trust in divine timing and understand that my intentions will manifest in direct proportion to the hopefulness that I hold in my heart. May I always meet situations with hope instead of doubt. So be it, and so it is. All right, guys, we'll end on that today. And that was episode 14. We'll see you around for episode 15.
See ya. So let the good times roll, feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll. Voice is recorded at Voice Motel, voicemotel.com. Your complete podcast recording experience. Located in Union Square, Somerville, Massachusetts.